Okay, raise your hand if you're honest. How many people, when you read the title of this service, you thought I was talking about school, like the school you go to, an elementary school or whatever school, public school? Yeah, I think so. Probably were thinking about that school, but there are different kinds of schools, right? Everybody goes to different kinds of school, and we have a school here that we attend every Sunday, but to make you feel better, I was thinking about public school, too, when I thought of that. Yeah, I wasn't really thinking about Sunday school, but then it occurred to me that we also have Sunday school, and we should also be thinking about that and the best way for us to face the school year. You know, you've just started school again, and those of you who are older and don't go to school right now, you're all included in this. It's not just a school message; it's a universal message for everybody. And but mostly, our congregation is made up of people that go to school, and so I really felt that God wanted me to talk today about that, you know, and about how we're going to face this. But since we're all here together, the message is really for all of us. And what I was thinking this week was, we could go into this school year, just like any other school year, and you can feel like, I'm going into the next grade. This is a logical, you know, progression of grades that I go through, and it's just something that I do. And the town that I live in is just where we happen to live. And the town that, and the school that I go to is just the one that happens to be the one that I attend. And the teachers that I got that were assigned to me are just part of that whole deal. And there really wasn't much thought process to it, and I don't have any choice in this matter, so I'm just going to do it. Right? And you can do that kind of a thing, and you can come here, and you can feel like, okay, well, I was put into this class, and that's my age, and I have that kind of thing to do this year, because that's just the way it is. And, you know, the same thing goes for older people. They go into a certain college, and they start to go to class there, and they feel like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to finish that up, and then I'm going to move on, and then I get a job. And that job that I get is just going to help me to make money, and I'm just going to be able to go on like that. I'm going to find somebody. If it's meant for me, I will find somebody to marry. If not, then I won't. Blah, blah, blah. Life goes on like that. It's all just that way. And what God is trying to say to us today is something much more different than that. What God is trying to say to us today is that you, individually, whatever name you have, and whatever person you are, whatever town you live in, whatever school that you go to, whatever teachers you have, is all part of His plan. And it's not just one of those things. It's not just one of those things that we meet in this building today. It's that we're having to do with a God who is not just one of those things. He is a very real God who has a purpose for your life and knows exactly what He wants for you. And every single thing that you do in your life, as mundane and as regular as it can be and boring as it can be to go to school every day and feel like you're just in this rut and you're going to follow through this plan because that's just the way it is, God is just saying, I'm going to shatter that whole concept for you today, and I want you to start thinking about life in a different way. I was reading a book for one of my classes that is incredibly interesting, and I found, like, on every page a quote that I could use or write down, and it's filled with different kinds of quotes. But one of them really caught my attention this week that I wanted to share with you, and what it said was, all instruction leads to God. All instruction leads to God. I was talking with Uncle Jonathan one time in the hall, and I said, you know, what is the point of science? And his answer to me was, the search for God. I thought that was a very interesting response. It wasn't the one I thought he was going to tell me. The search for God. I think that was what he said anyway. But all instruction leads to God. Think about that. Now, put that in the concept of your school. Have you ever thought of your science class as leading to God? Have you ever thought of your math class leading to God? Have you ever thought of your English class and your literature class leading to God? Have you ever thought of your music class or your gym class, your football team, your basketball team, your soccer team, your everything is leading to God? You're being instructed and you're thinking, well, this is the earthly instruction that I have and this has nothing to do with God. And God is saying to us today, that's wrong. Because everything that we see and do is a instruction, an instruction that helps us to find God and is leading us to Him. And that's what really, I think, God is trying to say to us. You have good time in there. I was just going to get to that. You know this? Do you guys recognize this picture? Anybody ever see it? This is from a Max Redman album, CD. It's called, is that his name? Matt Redman, yeah. Anyway, he has a song called Face Down. And I really like this picture. You know, it's this person who's in prayer and they're face down. And we're going to be talking a little bit about face. And this is really the answer to that question in the sermon today. How are we going to face the coming school year? I really believe that it's going to be face down. And Daniel, in this reading today, if you remember, we talked about this the last time I spoke. Daniel was in prayer. And this is the way that we face things. This is the most effective way that we face things. That's why I had everybody come up and pray over your teacher. Oftentimes, like even this week, I sent a thing out that was very convicting to me, to all the teachers and in the fellowship, also the adult fellowship, that was by a woman who was a Sunday school teacher, and she came up with a list of things to remind herself of as she taught Sunday school. If you're interested, I could show you what she wrote. It's an incredible thing. It's very, very, very demanding, very challenging for people to do it, but she really believed in it. You know, and one of the things that she wrote down was that she wants to make sure that everybody in her class comes to know Jesus as their Savior. That it was her responsibility. That Sunday school is not limited to 1 hour on Sunday, but it's a week-long thing. It's a year-long thing that we're supposed to be in touch with the people that are in our class. And we're supposed to be praying for them. And so what I would like to also suggest for our teachers here today is that we pray every single day for those people in our classes. That we pray for God's strength, because if we don't have that, then we're not going to be able to teach them anything. But if we have the strength of each one of you, not only today, to come up here and to pray over your teacher, but to get up every day and to pray for your teachers in Sunday school, then you're going to see something happen in our church that I think is going to be comparable to what we were talking about, the miracles of the Bible. God works through prayer. He works through those things, and he doesn't just change things. He changes people, and he stirs things up where there seems to be nothing happening, where there seems to be closed doors, where there seems to be walls that are up between people. This is the kind of God that we have, and he is telling us today, I'm sorry if you came here today expecting nothing or more than just another sermon and another service to go through, but it isn't that way. God is saying that our church and our worship and all the things that we're doing here are part of something that he's moving in. But he wants us to be sure and to be convicted in our hearts that we pray to him for that guidance and for that strength and for that focus. How many of you pray for Pastor Lowe every day? How many people of you pray for the deacon board, for the leaders of the church, for the movement of our church, for things to, I don't know what you think about when you think about our church, but for whatever it is that you expect from the church, do you pray about it? If there's anything on your mind right now that where you're thinking there's a problem in your personal life or in any way, shape, or form, that anything that is on your mind that is, or it could be a person, it could be a situation, it could be anything. It could be anxiety about a class that you're taking. It could be the fact that you feel that a teacher that you have has a reputation as being really mean. All of those things where you face those things in school become an opportunity for going to God and saying, Lord, help me with this one. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to do it. And that's the biggest lesson that we can learn today. You have to go to God in prayer and ask him for guidance about those things. Don't let it sift around in your mind and try to figure out some way to get around it on your own. You won't get it. You won't find it. But if you go to God immediately and you say, Lord, this is what's on my mind today, then he will give you that answer. And it's not going to be the answer you expect. Many times we get a different kind of a leaning to this and an answer that we don't expect, but that's not the point. That's the great thing about God, and that's the thing that we find in our lives, that we are oftentimes under this impression that we're on our own. Daniel was a great person, you know. He was this young man who was a student, you know. Remember, he was taken away from his own people, and he was put into the Babylonian society, and he was being trained as a Babylonian to serve in the courts. And so he was a student too. But look what happened to his life. He could have very easily said, "Lord, look at this. Why did you do this to me? Why did you put me into this evil people and where I have to learn all these foreign languages? I want to speak my own language. I want to do things my own way, and I want to practice the things that my own people practice." And God said, "No, I want you to do it this way. I want you to be not only that, I want you to be trained that way." And then look at what happened to his life. It was completely turned around, and God used him and gave him something. So wasn't that a miracle?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that God will do in your life. He takes you and he puts you in a situation that you're going to be in for some purpose, and you have to open yourself up to him and say, "Thank you for doing that. Because I know you know better than I do about what is good for me. And I also know that if I'm true to you, as you promised in your word, you are going to bring blessings out of my life and give me meaning in my life, and even give me meaning in my math class or my science class or my whatever class that you have trouble in." I've been reading a lot of stuff. A lot of these things going around in the Christian world today is that people seem to be thinking that the church is out of touch. One of the things I was mentioning to my family this week is that Sears, the store Sears, you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Sears is in big trouble, and they're headed down the road for bankruptcy. And Sears has been around forever. I mean, it's like one of these family household kind of, you know, if you need a new washer or dryer, you go to Sears. You know, that kind of a thing, or if you need a water heater or something. It's always been there. And you know what the reason is that the consumers' reports were saying that they're having trouble? Because they're out of touch. They're not in touch with the market. They're not in touch with the needs of people. They're not listening to the people. And that's one of the things that you're hearing from people who are turned off to the church these days. Being a person that's grown up in the church, that doesn't make me feel very happy. But if I continue in my ways to feel like there's only one way of doing things, and there's only one way we can do it, and there's no other way, then we're just going to have people that are frustrated all the time. So we have to give, and we have to listen, we have to spend time with people, we have to find out how are we going to be in touch so that we don't go bankrupt just like Sears. We have to be in touch, we have to talk to people, we have to find out what's on their minds. And you know what happens? As a result of that, you often find out that the problems that people are having are very, very easy to understand. They're very easy to comprehend. They're very even easy to fix. The problem is that we put our foot down in churches and we say, "No, sorry, we're not going to do that. Because we have a long tradition of doing things another way. So even if you leave the church, I don't think that God is pleased with that kind of an attitude." But you don't even have to go there. You have to go with a daily one-to-one kind of a thing with parents and children. If you're talking to your kids and you're trying to just shut them out and say, "No, I'm not going to be interested in what your interests are." I've been reading a lot of that parents can solve a lot of the problems they have with kids just by saying, "You know what? I'm going to take an hour or two each day and talk to you about what is interesting to you. And you know what? I'm not going to pretend that I'm interested. I'm going to really be interested. Because you're important to me. And your life is important to me." And so, same thing has to go with kids and parents, too. You have to also start to think about them in the same way. If your parents are just your parents because they just happen to be your parents, then your thinking is wrong. My thinking is wrong. Everybody's thinking is wrong. We have to look at them as though they are special people that God has put into our lives for some purpose. And even if it's hard, there's some purpose in there. And if you don't know what that purpose is and it's really driving you crazy, don't sin. Don't curse somebody out. Don't get angry. Go to God and say, "Lord, how do I deal with this?" Because he can help you. He can really help you. So take a look at just an idea, getting face down, if this is going to be the attitude that we have. Take a look at some of the qualities that Daniel has. that can help you. And talking about praying, you know, some of you are not so good at praying. You learn how to pray by reading other people's prayers. And I'm going to give you another example after this one. Take a look at verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness. Don't go any further. All your righteousness. So you can use this in your prayers. God is righteous. Lord, in all of your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Very, very honest. And very, very humble. So remember those. Be honest with God and be very, very humble. And remember that He is righteous. Speak to Him this way. Therefore, God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, right? His prayers on behalf of others for this, the Lord's sake. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And if you remember anything about the Old Testament, all of these images are very, very strong images that go throughout the whole Old Testament. Right? Light, God shining down, his face, his presence. I was reading something that was very interesting. Let me share it with you real quick. I stumbled on this as I was going along, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Do you know the showbread? Do you ever hear about the showbread in the tabernacle? There were four loaves of bread that were put out as a sacrifice in the tabernacle. They're representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were always there. Okay? And they had to remain fresh. And you know what the meaning was? Let me tell you what I found this week. It was interesting. It says, it's possible to infer, it's not, you know, written in the Bible this way, but it's possible to infer from what we know about showbread that it is representative of God being man's provider and sustainer, and that man lives constantly in the presence of God. And this truth makes it obligatory for man to offer his life to God. So that's what God is asking us to do, to be aware. You're not just going to school. You're not just going home. You're not just going to an event. You're not just coming to church. You're in the presence of God. And it's not a one-time thing, and it's not a Sunday thing. It's an always thing. And that changes our attitudes. If you know that you're in the presence of God all the time, then you're going to have to start acting like it, or you don't. Right? But you have to start thinking about those things. And those things were written in the Bible for us to learn. And it represents that. Are we going to come to church? Are we going to prepare ourselves for going to school and being instructed so we can find God? Are we going to go there with an expectation and say, Lord, what is this going to bring me today? What is this new class that I'm in, this new grade that I'm in, this new teacher I have, all these experiences, all these things around me? What are you trying to say to me, Lord? Tell me. Tell me what's going on in my life. Help me to see it this way. But help me to be able to put you before me and pray to you in knowing that your righteousness and your greatness is where it all begins. And then he goes on. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. How great is God's grace? It's not because of what we deserve. It's not because of what we've done. It's what God has done for us. And that's another important attitude for us to go into prayer with. We do not deserve anything. And yet, just like John was praying before you guys came in here, we were praying and he was saying, because Jesus is righteous, we are righteous. Because of his righteousness. And so when you go into prayer with that kind of an attitude, you can be sure that God is going to hear you. It's a very human thing. It's a very personable thing that he's saying here. Listen to me. Look. See. All these things that we can relate to. The Bible is not hard to understand, but we make it hard to understand because of our our bitterness, our expectations of God, our thinking that we deserve better in life. We've been handed a bad set of cards, a bad hand of cards in life, and we would rather have it a different way. And God is trying to say, if you trust me with your life, then all of those things that you're seeing as being negative right now, I will turn around in an instant because I took your sin and I put it on the cross with my son and I said, enough of this. And then I rose him from the dead and he sits next to me right here and I want you to join us here. Big party. Nothing that you have done in your life is too much to be forgiven for if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that you have done that could be any worse than I have done. Being a young person growing up, I understand, and we were all the same. And oftentimes, when I was your age, I had this feeling that I was the sinner who was lost in the sin, felt that there was too much that I had done wrong, and that was just plain not true. God has an answer for it. And he says, you are worthy. I love you. I want you to be whole. I want you to be saved. I want you to have joy in life. I want you to feel good about being alive. I want you to feel good about going to class. I want you to feel good about learning. I want you to use all those things. And if you open your mind up to me, then I will start to talk to you through the beakers in your science class. And I will start to talk to you through the notes that are written in your choir class. And I will start to talk to you through the, what's the word, algorithms? Is that a word? Yeah, in your math class. And I will use all those things. And I will start to instruct you with those things because I use everything so that you can find out what I'm trying to say to you. And there's another thing that's going around in the Christian world that is very, very important, and that is to understand that we are, as creative beings, are creative, and we are to be able to gain this creativeness from God. And if we want to really do something special in the world for the good of others, then God will help us to find what that is. And we should be open to creative things. Not just doing what all the other guys do. And you know, in the realm of music, there are many, many things that we could do using the basis or the fundamentals that are before us and the notation and everything like that. But there's all kinds of things that you can do. You just have to go to God and say, you know, Lord, I'd really like to do something like that. I'd like to do something new. I'd like to make an impression on the world. I'd like to add a completely new aspect to our worship. I'd like to do something that has never been done before. I don't want to just join in and do things the way that the world is doing them. There's a lot of that going around, so I want to be completely different. So help me to do that. How can I do that? Show me the way. Right? Last verse is, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. If we call ourselves Christians, then we have a right to go to God and say, Lord, don't turn your face away from us today. Come to us. Shine your face down on us. Let your light come down into this darkness and this dark world around me and help me to be able to show that light to people around me. Help me to be able to be that kind of a light, that kind of a force. But Lord, I can't do it without you. I need to come before you. I need to get the strength from you. I need to pray every day. And so I'd like to just wrap things up today. I don't want to talk long today. I just want to remind you of a couple things. And then I want to ask you and challenge you with something. My father was an art teacher for many years, 40 years, and he had a lot of students. And I met one of them one time. And this lady came up to me and she said, I want to tell you a story about you and your father and me. She said, when I was in his class, I did this project, and she was just going through things. She was just going through, you know, she had to take art, and art is one of those classes, unless you're Ming Ming, you don't really take it very seriously, right? You kind of just do what you can to get through it, and you feel like it's an easy one. My father was not that kind of a teacher. When you took art in his class, he expected you to learn art history, and he expected you to know the famous painters and sculptors, and he expected you to do something creatively and not just go through the motions. And so this girl handed in a project, and he said, you know what? And she was just about to walk away. And he looked at it, and he said, you know what? I can tell by looking at you that you have a lot to give. And she told me this story. And she said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, I can tell by looking at you that you have talent." But he looked at her project and he said, "But you can do a lot better than that. The choice is up to you." And she said to me, "John, I thought to myself at that moment, a challenge. This teacher is challenging me." And you know what she did? She went on to be an artist from that day on. So God is looking at you today and he's saying, you could really be something. You could really do something. You could be a force in this world. You could be someone who stands out in whatever way that I have planned for you. But there's one thing that you need, and that's me. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know him, then your year here in this church needs to begin there. Okay? You talk about needing, knowing what you have to do before you do something. Get to know Jesus as your Savior. He will transform your life. He will take something that is broken and heal it. And he will tell you things that you never heard before, just like this angel that comes to Daniel in this story and says, when you started to pray, a command went out in heaven, and that command was pointing to Jesus. Salvation. Eternal life. Because Daniel, this man who was living in this foreign land and doing all these foreign things, and not really quite sure of the whole scheme, and probably didn't understand the whole vision that he was given and everything, but he knew one thing, that God was real and that he had a plan for his life. So what are you going to do with your life? You going to just keep going and go to school and continue to go to your schools and finish your grades, and you'll just look at it the same way, and you'll have your struggles, and you can look at it that way, or are you going to do something else? And this is what I suggest. I suggest that from this day on, that we all decide that we are going to get up in the morning, and instead of just rushing through our breakfast and all of the different things that we have to do to get on our school bus or whatever else that you do, is that you get up in the morning and you think, God just woke me up. That's the first thing. God just woke me up. I did not just wake up on my own. I was allowed to wake up. I was given my life for a new day. My breath is in me for a new day because God has given me it. Start there. The second thing I want you to do is to pray. And this is where the freedom comes in. You have to pray something. You have to pray either, God, help me. I'm in need of help. I'm so tired. I can't even think. But I want you to pray to him. But you can pray in this way, O righteous one. Let me read you one more example of a prayer that I've been reading in the morning. And I've been praying, you know, I'm not a very good prayer, but I've been trying to get some help for myself in different books from different people that are really good prayer people. And this one comes from Oswald Chambers. O Lord, you know, in eager, helpless trust I look up. Oh, that in power and peace and purity and grace, thou would shine forth in power and grace and glory on this day. O Lord, the range of your power and the touch of your grace, the breathing of your spirit, how I long for these to bring me face to face with you. Lord, by your grace, cause me to appear before you. Goes on and on, all these prayers. Lord, help this day that I keep my mind on you. Help me to know that you are going to be going to school with me today and on the bus, and everybody that I meet and every study that I have to study, that you're going to be instructing me on greater things that are heavenly things. Help me to be alert today. Help me to be alert to all those things that you're going to do in my life. And the other thing I want to challenge you with is this, and you can take it or you can just leave it here. It's up to you. Read through the Bible. Now immediately you may be thinking, I heard that, I know I heard that, but there's too many obstacles in that. I don't know if I'm going to take that one out with me. You might have been thinking that about the prayer. But think about what it means. Think about what your life means. Think about it differently today. Think about what it is that you are doing. And think about your school and your teachers and start to pray for them. And I guarantee you, if we come back and we start to If I stand here again next month to preach, then I'm going to ask the question, have you been praying and have you seen results? And I guarantee you, if you've been praying, you will start to see results. And I don't know what the results are going to be, but there are changes. If you start to pray for your teachers, and you pray for your parents, and for your sister and brother, for your family, for your pastor of this church, for the church building here, for all the things that are going on in this church, and you get involved with it, then your life and their lives are going to be transformed in some way. That's the sermon for today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you have challenged us today. You're challenging me not to take my life for granted, not just to look at every day as though it's like every other day, but to know that every single day is a day of instruction from you. And it's one that is not just to instruct us for the sake of being instructed, but it is for you to show us heavenly things, to show us greater things of God, to show us the things that came, Lord, when you looked down on the sin of the world and you sent your Son into it, completely baffling all of us with this incredible act of humbleness and grace and love to send your own Son die on a cross for us, to shock the world out of its pants, to shock us out of our mundaneness, out of our everydayness, out of our bitterness, or the things that we're bored with, or the church, or the feelings about the church, or the people in the church, or the pastor, or the leaders, or anything else. Help us to be humble before you and to realize, Lord, that we must repent of all of those thoughts, because they're evil. You are not mundane. You are not everyday. You are beyond it. You are not boring. You are a God who has changed the world with your great compassion and acting in a way that no one could have expected and still causes people to be in doubt because they could never believe that a God would give his own Son for the sakes of such sinful people. Oh Lord, you are righteous and you are holy. Help us to take you seriously. Help us, Father, to need no one else in our lives but you, and no one else to spur us on or to encourage us or to get us out of our dullness of mind or out of our everydayness. We don't need anyone else but you, Lord. You are enough reason because of your greatness. Help us not to take advantage of you. Help us not to sin against you. Help us not to feel that we can just do whatever we want. But help us, Lord, to be able to remember the words of the songs that we just sang that say that we are not important, but Jesus is important. Help us to live that way. Help us to read your word each day. Help us, Lord, to be able to pray each day before we start our day to make sure that the one who is most important in all the world receives the first part of our day. Help us to be able to take the words that Daniel prayed here, Lord, and to be able to use them in ourselves. Help them to make up our own prayers. And Lord, help us also to be creative in the way that we act and the way that we think so that when we are faced with a problem, when we are faced with something that has really gotten to us and made us discouraged or made us feel cynical or has taken the joy out of us, Lord, help us to go to you in those times and to say, Lord, help us. Help us to find you. Help your face to shine down upon us and to take away all those bad feelings and to replace them with hopeful ones, ones of salvation and of eternity, ones of strength, ones of empowerment, ones that are of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for this, and I lift up all these prayers, and I pray that you would honor all the prayers that were spoken over the teachers in our church, Lord, that you would bless us all so that we would come closer to a better understanding of who you are, and that our church, Lord, would be a light in this community and would shine out, and the people that are looking for you, Lord, that you lead in our direction and find the way. Thank you, Lord, for each person who is here today, and I'm excited, Lord, for how you're going to work in their lives, and I pray that you would give us the strength for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Before I stop, let me read you the words of that song. Welcomed into the courts of the King, I've been ushered into your presence. Lord, I stand on your merciful ground. yet with every step tread with reverence. And I'll fall face down as your glory shines around. Yes, I'll fall face down as your glory shines around. Who is there in the heavens like you, and upon the earth who's your equal? You are far above. You are the highest of heights. We are bowing down to exalt you. If you guys can learn that one.